Morning, everyone. I too want to thank you for coming out at 8:30 after a night of alumni parties and socializing and networking. So I do appreciate you being here. Today I'm going to be talking about how we went about developing an HIV primary training and certificate program. And to tell you a little bit about how that program has been implemented and the reasons for that implementation. So I hope to be able to, at the end of this session, really be able to describe to you, for you to be able to describe, the changing healthcare service delivery landscapes, describe the challenges facing HIV prevention care and treatment programs, list the primary care provider recommendations to build HIV workforce and confidence in education, explain successes and limitations of training PCPs through web-based programs, and identify future program development and expansion. There will be a quiz at the end. And, so I do have a disclosure that I have been required to tell you. I'm going to be talking in our program about Health HIV Stage Training to Engage Providers model for HIV integration. This is a model that was developed by Health HIV with a HRSA contract related to integrating HIV into primary care. And it is a program that a model that we use for some of our consulting work with health centers around the country. There are other models that exist for the integration of services, including HIV services. HRSA's HABS website has practice transformation models that are published there, and practice improvement program models can be found at careacttarget.org, which is HRSA's Target Center website. So let's talk a little bit about the changing healthcare delivery landscape. And I'm sure on day three of the conference, you all know and seen most of this information. But as you know, healthcare reform has expanded access to services and really pushing people to access primary care and providing them the opportunities to access primary care. We have the USPSTF recommendations that individuals 15 to 65 should be screened routinely for HIV. And we also have increasing caseloads of people living with HIV being seen by both HIV specialists and HIV providers around the country. And this is primarily due to not only people living longer, but greater access to primary care through insurance and practice transformation improvements within clinical settings and transition of providers as the first wave of HIV providers begin to retire. There has been a decrease in the number of primary care providers in the country and HIV specialists. Currently, there are about 209,000 primary care providers, and they're defined as MDs, DOs, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants in the country. And in the 2,000 HIV specialists that exist. And by 2025, there's an estimate that there will be a shortage of 52,000 primary care professionals in the country. When we look at national strategies driving change in clinical settings, of course, we have the National HIV-AIDS Strategy that was published. CDC has published their high-impact HIV prevention programs models, which is really moving from those behavioral interventions that we have been told to do for such a long time to more focus on public health strategies and cost-effective and scalable interventions. We have the White House's HIV Care Continuum Initiative, which is addressing gaps in the HIV care continuum, especially in the areas of linkage, retention, and viral suppression in this country. And ultimately, we have rapidly evolving clinical care settings and the clinical environment including the introduction of biomedical interventions into prevention and how primary care providers will be implementing those in their practices. So we informed our program through a variety of mechanisms, and one of those mechanisms is a survey that we conduct annually at Health HIV regarding the state of HIV care and treatment programs and their integration into primary care. And we really developed this survey 3 years ago as a way to really assess who is providing HIV care in the country and what does it look like in primary care settings and how healthcare reform is ultimately increasing people's access to care. So from that survey we conducted last year, it was conducted online, and we had 2,500 respondents from the survey, and we whittled that down to about 400 what we describe as prescribing providers, the MDs, the DOs, the NPs, and the PAs around the country. And we also wanted to make sure that those individuals were practicing in a primary care practice setting and under that provision. And we defined primary care using the definition of the American Academy of Family Physicians. What we found in that is about 30% of that 400 were identified as HIV specialists. And they had indicated to us, 87 of them indicated that they are now working within the scope of primary care. They have migrated from an HIV specialty environment to a primary care setting, which is a trend that has been happening for several years. We have learned that HIV PCPs, as we have termed them, these are the individuals that are the primary care providers that are providing HIV care, who identify themselves as HIV specialists, were significantly more likely to provide HIV services, not surprisingly. However, the HIV specialist did also indicate to us that their ability to provide mentoring to other primary care providers in their communities and to train new HIV PCPs. When we looked at the HIV PCP workforce, 40% of the respondents stated that the number of providers treating HIV in their service areas were less than that of the demand for HIV, and that 55% of HIV PCPs were over the age of 50, thus indicating the age of retirement for many of them. And it's estimated that 30% of that 2,000 HIV specialists that I showed at the beginning will be retiring in the next 5 to 10 years, thus contributing to an additional shortage of new specialists. And as new specialists go in medical training sessions, in medical training programs and residencies, new specialists are not being trained at the same rate that would replace the anticipated decrease in HIV specialists in the country. We went on to ask HIV PCPs what were their personal and professional factors that really drove them into providing HIV care. And the top personal factors for treating HIV were really addressing health disparities in their communities, but 39% of them also said that there was a mentor or a role model that was involved in the HIV field that really helped bring them in to this setting. When we asked their top professional factors for treating HIV, most of them indicated, 63% indicated that they were in a medical-served communities, and that high prevalence of HIV and primary care demand in their area was a major driver for them to begin practicing in HIV. We also asked the same question of those primary care providers who are not providing any HIV care. Why aren't you providing care? The main reasons that were identified is that, well, they have people that they refer to, HIV specialists. None of their patients are living with HIV. and HIV is not relevant in their current setting or practice. So from this data, we went on to develop a national HIV workforce mentoring initiative. And this initiative was really an attempt to increase training for clinical providers in HIV care who are working in primary care settings. So we used a series of geomapping work to really identify HIV care shortage areas in the country. We identified primary care providers working in communities, working in health centers in those communities, and we offered them the opportunity to be matched with an HIV expert, as we're calling them, for peer-to-peer mentoring. We also worked with St. John's University Medical Center to establish an HIV residency program within their primary care residency program, and to provide medical education and training. And through that initiative, we developed the mentoring program. We went on to develop the HIV primary care training and certificate program and implemented that residency program. To date, we've had 93 mentees around the country, mostly coming from the southern region of the U.S., participate in the program. And those 97 mentees have reached approximately, or care for approximately 22,000 total patients within their sites, and approximately 1,500 HIV patients are in care at the mentee sites that they're working in. From the mentoring initiative and the engagement of those 90 folks and their mentors, there was an effect on those who had been practicing for a very long time and those who are mentors in the program that were really thinking about, it's time for me to get out of the field with all this change that's happening, that they actually became more engaged and they felt like they really wanted to have the opportunity to share their knowledge with new providers. The free HIV mentoring program was really a supplement to the lack of support and resources for new HIV providers that existed. Mentoring has really demonstrated the educational needs of new providers in both structural and clinical ways. And what we learned through our mentoring program is that there was an increase in confidence to expand practices to treat HIV. And I say the word confidence because the majority of the providers were competent to provide the necessary care to treat HIV. They lacked the confidence to implement that. So the mentors really helped to increase their confidence. There was an increase in HIV caseloads in all the practices through the mentoring program. And there was also an expansion of care to HIV patients, to patients with hepatitis C co-infection as well. And there's a continued relationship that has built between these mentees and these mentors even after the pilot program has ended and they reach out for ongoing support through clinical consultations. Additionally, through the program, the mentors were coming to us and they were saying, we really need to have a resource, a library in which we can draw clinical research from, articles, case studies, CME, so that we can help our mentees be trained. So we pulled together around 400 items and categorized them based on the fundamentals of HIV care, the whole way from screening all the way through to treating comorbidities, addressing salvage therapy regimens, so providing this foundation for them. That became a very overwhelming process for individuals, and they said they really wanted to work on developing a streamlined and integrated program to provide the foundational training for HIV PCPs in the country. We asked our mentors how they preferred to learn, and all of them indicated that self-study having that clinical consultation and using real cases that they can relate to in their practices was ideal. They wanted something that was self-paced so they can do it on their own time, and something that was online, they felt, was the best way to access learning formats. They wanted to use multimedia facets to deliver content and resources, and they also wanted to make sure that they got some kind of CME incentive for their participation in the project. So with a group of our mentors and a national steering committee comprised of HIV thought leaders, including HIV clinical experts, we took those 400 documents and we really condensed them down to develop the HIV primary care training and certificate program, which is really a professional development course to help the PCPs in communities develop new skills and competencies, really to optimize care delivery. This is not a mechanism to replace an HIV specialist. This is an opportunity to expand access to HIV care within a community. So I just wanted to put that out there. So the intended audience for the program are those primary care providers and other allied health professionals working within those communities. And the program can be accessed through our website. So what did the curriculum look like? So the first five modules of the curriculum went live last November and included HIV management in primary care, like a foundations course, which reviewed HIV screening, how to discuss HIV infection, diagnosis, and also discussing initiation of heart medication or treatment. We also, module two was the core skills for HIV management in primary care, three, assessment and treatment decisions in HIV and HCV co-infections, considerations in the management of HIV in older adults, and improving communication within the clinical setting. The faculty in this program used our STEP model for that process, which basically walks through a series of stages in order to get providers to engage in training and activities that is really relevant to their self-assessed needs. So the program, we sent one email out about the program, and we had people coming to us left and right in the pilot program asking to participate in the program. We had a total of 460 participants who participated. 274 were prescribing providers that completed all four modules of the curriculum. The modules consisted of about an hour of integrated video, voice, monographs for the mentee to review, as well as links to other CME resources online. 186 of the individuals participating were health educators, and of the 460, 202 were from the southern region of the United States. When we assessed knowledge transfer, you can see that the knowledge transfer was significant between the pretest of each module and the post-test. At the end of the curriculum, there was a full exam that individuals could take to receive a certificate in proficiency in HIV care. So what are some of the insights that we learned from the program? Is that the providers can immediately apply this knowledge to their current practice. The participants liked having access to an HIV mentor to really complement this online training, and that was something that we offered to all the participants who went through the certificate program, access to a mentor. and they like the self-paced and targeted information. So as we move forward with the program, we are developing additional web-based content with CME attached to it. The CME is going to be expanded to other activities, including that of nursing credits to participate in the program. And programs like this are really needed to build confidence for providers and skills for PCPs. And for the program to remain timely and current, it needs to be updated with new content on a regular basis. This updating is currently under development this month, and the new modules will launch next month for providers to access. And part of the programs that providers really wanted to have access to was expanding the program into other comorbidities that are impacting people living with HIV, including hepatitis C, and what that's going to look like in the future with new drug regimens coming on board. So please check out the website at healthhiv.org. There's a link to the curriculum there for individuals to access that and our other programs as well. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time.